Father, now as we go into your word of power, your word of knowledge, your word of wisdom, your word of peace, your word of joy, there's not enough words to describe your word, but we love it. We love you. We ask now that you would speak to us. We know that you live because the tomb is empty. And we are your people who have looked into that tomb and found it empty, and we believe. We know we serve a living God, a God who is with us and in us and leads us and guides us and loves us. So now we pray, Lord, that your Spirit would now speak. And may we leave here a changed people. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Excuse me. What do you really need from God right now? What's going on in your life that you need God right now, this moment, this day, this time, and how badly do you need it? What are you going through that you need God to bless you to get you through? You see, sometimes we don't receive blessings unless we wrestle with God. And I'm not talking about some of the WWF people in wrestling. How many of you, I want to see some hands. How many of you heard of Hulk Hogan? Everybody's heard of Hulk Hogan. How many have heard of The Rock? Everybody's heard of The Rock. How about Andre the Giant? Well, okay, now you're going to date yourself. You ready? Tojo Yamamoto. Wow, that's impressive. And he had that chop. You know that chop? He'd hit you the backhand. Oh, he was mean. He was mean and scary. But I want to tell you about somebody else that has wrestled with God. He was in the Bible. You know, there's not anything that you haven't gone through that God's people didn't go through in his word. When you look at the history of the Bible, you're basically reading the history of about the people who are believers like you and I, and you can read about the same kind of things that they are going through that we go through. Well, Jacob is one of those people like us, but Jacob wrestled with God. Now, if you remember the story of Esau and Jacob, Esau was the oldest, and he was a hunter. Jacob was more of the kind of the quiet guy, the behind-the-scenes guy. And as their dad, Isaac, was dying, he lost his vision, and he called for Esau to come so he could give him his birthright, that he could give him his blessing. When Jacob heard that his oldest brother was being called by his dad to give him the birthright, to give him the blessing, he decided that he wanted that blessing rather than letting his older brother have it. So Esau was a hairy man. He was hairy and he was scary. He liked to hunt. And to make sure that he could trick his father, he went and he got some goats wool or sheep wool and put it on his forearm so that when his father went to grasp for him and he got his hands around that hairy arm, he would think that he was grasping the arm of Esau and not realize that it was Jacob. And then his father Isaac would go ahead and give Jacob Esau's birthright and all the blessings. And let me make sure you understand what's going on here, because it's important to understand that what Jacob was doing with getting the birthright and the blessing, he would get the lion's share of all the riches of his father when he passed. So he was cheating his brother. Now you can imagine how Esau felt. Betrayed, hurt, angry. So angry that he said, I'm going to kill my brother. He has done me a disservice. He has cheated me out of my birthright. That's not right. And I'm going to take action. I'm going to kill him. Well, when Jacob heard about this, you know what he did, being the little brother? He went on the run. And so Jacob goes and he lives with his mother's brother. For 20 years he is there living with this family. And after 20 years, God says, Jacob, it's time for you to go home. Time for you to go see your brother. And I can imagine what Jacob's thinking. My brother? Are you kidding? He's big. He's hairy. He's scary. And the last time I saw him, he wanted to part my hair with a sword. I don't want to go see my brother. But Jacob listened to God. And Jacob put this plan together. Look at this plan. Pretty neat. Genesis 32:3. Jacob sent messengers ahead of him to his brother Esau in the land of Seir, the country of Edom. He instructed them, this is what you were to say to my lord Esau. Your servant Jacob says, that's pretty cool, isn't it? Your servant Jacob, your little brother Jacob, the one who's cowering down now, Jacob. Say to Lord, my lord Esau, your servant Jacob says, I have been staying with Laban and have remained there till now. I have cattle and donkeys and sheep and goats and male and female servants. Now I am sending this message to my Lord that I may find what? So he might find favor in his eyes. So this is what Jacob decides. He says, this is what I'm going to do. God has told me to go back to where I'm from, to my family, to see Esau, and this is what I'll do. I am going to soften my brother up. I am going to send him some gifts, and I will see how he responds. Now, let's see how Esau responds in Genesis 32:4. When the messengers returned to Jacob, they said, we went to your brother Esau, and now he is coming to meet you. And now, if you're Jacob, what are you thinking? You're shaking in your sandals. Your turban is doing flips. You're having all kinds of concerns in your life because, oh my goodness, I sent him peace offerings, and what I'm getting in return is 400 of his warriors coming to meet me. That is not a good sign. Here's your sign. It's not a good sign. So this is what Jacob decides to do. He decides to take his family, his big group, his family, and he decides to split them in two. And that way, when Esau comes, the worst he could do is just wipe out half of his family. The other half he won't know about, and they'll make it. So then Jacob took droves of animals, and almost like the 12 days of Christmas, he says, this is what I'm going to do. I'll give my brother a gift every day. I'll try to soften him up this way. So Jacob took sheep and would send them one day. And then he would take camels and he'd send them the next day. Then he took cattle and send them the next day. Then he took oxen. So every day there was something coming to his brother Esau to kind of soften him up so he wouldn't send these 400 warriors to wipe him out. And each time that this wave of gifts would come to Esau, Esau would ask, where's Jacob? And the messengers would say, oh, he's behind us. He's coming, but he's behind us. Now look at verse 24. So Jacob has now split his family, one here, and Scripture says that now Jacob is left alone. This is important. He's left alone. And I believe the reason he's left alone is he's saying, you know what? I'm going to have one of those nights. You ever had one of those nights where you have anxiety? You ever had one of those nights where you pray to God all night long because you got something that's going on in your life that is so stressful, that is so terrible, that is so bad that you can't sleep, and all you do all night long as you lay awake, you're having anxiety, and you're praying to God that he will lift that anxiety off to you, fix the problem that you're in, and you can't stop thinking about it. That's all you're doing is praying and thinking, and you have this anxiety. That's what's going on with Jacob right here. He's got 400 of his brother's warriors coming. And he's thinking that he's going to get wiped out. So he wants to be left alone. I don't want to have people around me. I want to have my time where I can pray and I can think and I can have this anxiety and I'm all by myself with my God and we're talking. So Jacob, by himself, he wants to be alone. He's got lots of anxiety. And then look what happens. And a man wrestled with him till daybreak. So Jacob is alone. All of a sudden here, this man shows up. Now, Scripture doesn't tell us this, but in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, if the Scripture says that he's alone, you would think that he wants to be alone. He's got all this anxiety going on in his life. He wants to have special time with God in prayer. And all of a sudden, this man shows up, and he says, I don't want to spend time. Get out of here. I want some alone time. And this man says, I'm not going anywhere. Jacob says, oh, yeah, you're going somewhere. He says, no, I'm not going anywhere. Jacob says, oh, yeah, you're going somewhere. And they start wrestling. And they wrestle all night long. And sometime during that night, Jacob realizes that he is wrestling with whom? Anybody have an idea? He's wrestling with God. The sun is starting to come up, and the Lord says, okay, it's time for me to leave. Let go, Jacob. Guess what? Jacob won't let go. God says, Jacob, let me go. Jacob won't let go. God says, Jacob, let me go. Jacob says, I'm not letting go, Lord, until you bless me. God says, I said, let me go. Jacob said, I'm not letting go. And finally, the Lord dislocates his hip to make Jacob let him go. So let me ask you a question. What was Jacob asking for? What blessing did he need right then, right at that moment, more than he needed anything else in his life? What was he asking for? What blessing did he say, Lord, I need this blessing. I'm not letting you go until you give me this blessing. I know who you are. I know who I'm wrestling with. You told me to go to see my brother. I've been away for 20 years. I know he wanted to kill me then, but you're telling me that it's okay now, but I'm not letting go until you tell me it's okay, that I'm going to be okay. Bless me, Lord. He wanted him to bless his relationship with his brother, and he wasn't going to let go until God blessed him. Jacob wanted reconciliation. God said, Jacob, you have my blessing. It's going to be okay. The relationship will be restored. And because of your faith, I'm going to change your name. Because of your new faith, you need a new identity. And God changed Jacob's name from Jacob to Israel. Now look at verse 30. This gets good. So Jacob called the place Peniel. I guess is how you say that. And it is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared. God answered the request, the blessing that Jacob requested. My life was spared. My life was spared. Now, how does the story end? It's great. Look at 33, 1 through 4. Jacob looked up, and there was Esau coming with his 400 men. Oh, don't you know he's thinking, oh my goodness, this is not good. However, God has told me it's going to be okay. I've got the blessing. I've wrestled with God. I've held on. I wouldn't let go until he blessed me. He has told me it's going to be okay. And you know what Jacob did? As his brother was coming toward him, he bowed 7 times in front of him. And then look what happened. But Esau ran to meet Jacob. And what did he do? He embraced him. And then what did he do? He threw his arms around his neck. And then what did he do? He kissed him. And then what did they both do? They wept. They wept. Man, isn't that a great story? A real story about real people God's people and what they did in times when they needed something in their life right then, right now. Church, have you ever wrestled with God? Do you need a blessing today? Is there something going on in your life where you need a blessing right now, today, that God will tell you it's going to be okay? If you do, don't turn loose. Have your wrestling match with God. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we love you so much, and we thank you for your word and how powerful your scripture is. We're thankful, Lord, that we can see how a bad decision creates bad things in our life, where Jacob had to leave home. But, Lord, we can also see that you're a wonderful God, a God that reconciles, a God that heals. And you brought those two brothers back together. And after Jacob holding on to you and requesting that blessing, you blessed both of them and you reconciled that relationship. Lord, I pray this morning if there's anyone here that has issues in their life, there's problems in their life, Lord, I pray that they would just hold on to you, that they won't let go, that they would just hold on to you until they feel your presence, until they know that beyond the shadow of a doubt that you can take care of anything, you can handle anything, that there's nothing that you can't do. Let us be powerful in our prayer and when we ask you to do things. Let us be expecting something to happen after we pray. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The altar is open for all who need to come. Stand, please.